Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word. And so now, as we look at this word and we read it, we pray you might speak into our hearts and minds, and your Holy Spirit might truly open up our hearts to hear what you are saying to us today, and how that we might apply that in our lives as we go through the week and we look to be your witnesses in this generation. Amen. Mark 6, verses 6, second part of verse 6 to 13. Then Jesus went round teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Last week, we saw that Jesus was fulfilling his priority. And we saw that because he was preaching in his hometown. It doesn't mention it here, but it mentions that he went to his hometown, so that's Nazareth. He was preaching the word. But people didn't want to hear the word. But just because it wasn't successful doesn't stop Jesus in what he does. We have seen earlier in Mark, when Jesus withdrew at one point and his disciples were looking for him, not unnaturally because everyone else was looking for him, and disciples were probably thinking, this is a good thing. Jesus actually said, let's go somewhere else to preach the word. This is why I have come. You see, Jesus was wise to what people were looking for. They were looking for miracles. And indeed, the testimony of Jesus was that the miracles testified to his teaching. But his teaching was the main thing. So we shouldn't be surprised when we see that this starts, the second part of verse 6 of chapter 6, then Jesus went round teaching from village to village. That is exactly, as I said, part of his agenda. That was why he had come. But we also see here that he expands the work. He now sends out the 12, sending them out, it says, two by two, and giving them authority over evil spirits. I've got 3 points this morning, and they will start with M. The means, the method, the message. Let's start with the means. Jesus sends them out two by two. There's a reason for this. One is very, very practical. It's very much easier to do things with the support of another person. Whenever I go out, very rarely does Tracy not come with me. It's great to have someone else there. It's encouraging if no one's speaking to you for a start. And it's also just good to have someone praying when you're speaking to someone. There's a lot of practicality in Scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, where it talks about two being better than one. Basically, if one falls down, the other can get them up. We cover for each other's weaknesses. We give each other confidence, don't we? But there was another reason why it was important that two went out, which would have been very, very important to the people they were speaking to. Witnesses, if you went to a court of law, it required two witnesses. And actually, if you look at Deuteronomy 17, verse 6, it always says that. No one can bring anything unless there's two witnesses. No one can bring a case or do anything or expect justice of any kind unless there are two witnesses. They testify to the word of God. I always like it when we get out at Christmas. It's good when we can. And sometimes we're able to, you know, team up with the Wolverton Church, which is great, because it actually says there are a few people who believe the stuff, who believe the gospel, and who believe whatever the preacher is preaching when we stop and I do a word in between carols or something. It's good, isn't it? It gives the gospel credibility. That's one reason, again, why I hope that people will be drawn to this church. Not just because of the fact it would be nice to see more faces. I'm praying very much that people who are mature believers will come in as well, because it gives a credibility and it gives a witness to the work. I'm also praying that unbelievers come in as well. We need both. I still think the ministry is worthwhile. Whatever's going on. I just have to add that. So that is the means. The method. The method is total dependence on the Lord. I don't think these are particularly instructions for how we do mission today. These, first of all, were the apostles. They were specially appointed by Christ. We also note that, in a sense, he recommissions them, doesn't he? They were given the authority, we saw early on, back in chapter 3, to cast out demons. So they had a particular, in a sense, mission, or as they'd say today, a skill set, a spiritual skill set. But they were to be totally dependent on the Lord. Verse 8. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. The essentials, yes, but no more. And I think this is very, very important. Because what we have to realise is that we are totally dependent on the Lord in all we do. I recently heard a rather strange thing from a church leader who said that because of the size of one of his churches, they had far more conversions there. I couldn't quite get my head around it. And he said it's because people respond to such and such an atmosphere. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit knows nothing of that. The Holy Spirit knows nothing of that. The Holy Spirit is not governed by what we are doing in some way. The Holy Spirit is like the wind, as Jesus said. We see the effects of it. It pretty much goes, the wind goes where it will, as does the Spirit. Let me just give you an example that's just occurred to me, but it's a great one, and I do enjoy giving it. Some years ago, the churches in India, in the region of Uttar Pradesh is known as the missionary's graveyard. Around about the turn of the millennium, they were doing a mission. They had done several before over the years. They went to the pilgrims who went to the Ganges. And the idea is you go and dip yourself in the Ganges and you will be flushed away of your sins. As someone said, the state of the Ganges, you'll get flushed, but not necessarily of your sins. And as the pilgrims were returning, people were giving out cassettes, you know, all kinds of things. SIM cards which had message on it for mobile phones and stuff like that. They had done this over the years and seen nothing. A week passed. Nothing happened. Suddenly, the university that was connecting, the sort of coordinating the work, started to get hit all over the area of Uttar Pradesh. What happened? People had come back, and this is an extraordinary thing. People had come back with their Hindu beliefs, and they had not felt their sins had been flushed away. And they were listening to these cassettes, and they were listening to, you know, CDs and other stuff. And people were meeting together in homes and playing these because they didn't know what else to do, because they saw it as good news. And so they were now contacting and saying, what do we do now? Brothers and sisters, churches were being set up without any missionaries going in there first. Literally happening organically through the work of the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't need or know. The method is just to be faithful to the gospel, which was what those things are. Yes, use the immediate means. That's why I go on Facebook and put a message on it. But nothing beats. I still believe this. Gilbert and I were saying this. Many people yesterday did not take a tract. No, thank you. But when you preach on the street, they can't help but hear a sentence. And the number of people I have heard who have heard something on the street, often that very much annoys them, and yet that has been led to Christ because their consciousness will not let them rest. Who knows? The Spirit works in His way, not our way. We are to be totally dependent. We are not. There's no particular sort of method. There's a lady on Facebook constantly goes on there and talks about how you can turn your ministry into, you know, a multi-million pound whatever. Really, it's just like, you know, those power of positive thinking speakers. It's not the work of the Spirit. They were to accept hospitality when offered. It's rather interesting that they were to enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. Don't move around. Get on with the work. I think that's really the thing there. Don't be distracted by what's going on. If not welcomed, this sounds a bit strange to us, verse 11, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. Brothers and sisters, this is a loaded verse. This is a loaded verse. Do you know where they shook the dust off their feet? Because that's what Jews did after they'd been through Gentile territory. That's what they did when they went through a place, Gentiles, as they saw, not knowing God, where they went through a place where God wasn't in their thinking. Now, we know God is everywhere, but they would shake the dust off their shoes. And so, Jesus is giving a sign that those people are like unbelievers. Quite shocking, really, because the Jews would have seen themselves as God's people. But notice the second part, as a testimony against them. It actually is saying that this will testify to their attitude when Jesus comes again to judge. Now, it's not a done deal. The Lord is gracious. The Lord gives people time to repent. But it's a warning. It's a warning. An interesting story I remember from a former pastor of mine. He grew up in Southern Ireland. Street preaching there was just second to none. They just do it all the time. And they'd been doing some, and over the time they were doing it, one guy used to come along and heckle totally. And Wallace got up and spoke, and the guy heckled, and then his friend got up and spoke. And this has been going on for some time, weeks. And he was starting to heckle Wallace's friend, and Wallace could see the guy was really struggling. He was losing his thought, where he was going, and he was really getting wound up tight by this guy heckling him. After they stopped and they were packing up, this guy came up to Wallace's friend. "You Protestants, you believe that God calls people and, you know, you do this. I don't believe that at all." Wallace saw that his friend was trying to answer, but he couldn't get a word in edgeways. And believe you me, I used to meet a guy on the street at Stoney, and it's really irritating when you just can't speak to them. They won't let you speak. And eventually, Wallace knew it was going to happen. His friend completely lost it. He said, "By the way," Wallace said, "and I don't approve of this as a way of evangelism, but it's interesting what happened." This friend completely lost it, said, "Yeah, I do believe God calls some. I do, you know something, the way you're carrying on, I don't think he's called you." Guy went as white as a sheet. Long story short, eventually he came to Christ. The Lord is merciful. By the way, as I said, I wouldn't recommend that. But the Lord uses our most hopeless efforts. Judgment is real, and we must take it seriously. And that is what Jesus is saying here. Show to them that this will be a testimony against them if they have refused the word and continue to do so. Lastly, the message. They're basically preaching, in fact, almost certainly they're preaching exactly what Jesus was preaching. We notice they went out and preached that people should repent. Remember the early on in Mark's gospel? We know, don't we, that Jesus went out and he was preaching. The first words we actually get recorded: "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And that is what the disciples, the apostles, are told to preach here. They are to go and say that if the kingdom is coming, it requires change. Change is essential. One of the things I think we've lost, or there's a big danger in losing in church today, is that when we come before God, we don't come on our terms. If we're going to be accepted by him, we have to come on his terms. And his terms are marvelous, they're gracious. And we'll be looking at that at Easter, that Christ has been the sacrifice for our sins. He's done the thing we can't do. He's literally become, as it said, you know, he who was without sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He's literally taken that burden off us. It's a gracious offer, isn't it? But we don't sort of come and say, right, we're going to work out some sort of contract between us and God. No, God's worked out the contract. It's whether we're signed to it. That's the key thing here, isn't it? And so it requires change in our lives. And it requires examination. And measuring what we do and what we think and the decisions we make against God's word, not our word. It's very important that we are to do that. Rather interestingly, there's a little detail here which we could miss. It says they anointed many sick people with oil. Now, oil is used, particularly in Old Testament times, in worship and in things like that. It's a sign. Basically here, we could say a lot about it, but basically here it's a sign of God's presence. So it's a wonderful picture, isn't it? It's a sign that God is willing to make peace with people if they repent, if they turn to Him. It's a done deal. If they will realize their sin, God draws near to them. It's a lovely picture, isn't it? The idea of peace is very much picked up in our reading. That's why I had it. I thought, Palm Sunday anyway, it'd be good to have this lovely reading from Zechariah. But it's very much picked up, isn't it, in this little passage, Zechariah 9, verse 9, which is picked up by the gospel writers and used. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is not the king going to war. This is the king who comes to make peace. There's a lovely phrase there, isn't there? Righteous, having salvation. It can be interpreted righteous and ready to save. Here's the picture. We have a God who truly wants to bring us into relationship with Him. But that means saving us first. Because we could never enter His presence on our own. But there's the other picture here, isn't there, which we see. Jesus has come to spread the good news. The work expands, with the apostles spreading the good news, and in this case, performing miracles as well, which testify to the work of the Lord. But it should take us, shouldn't it, to Matthew's Gospel, and the end of Matthew's Gospel. Verse 18 of chapter 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That is a very, very thorough, isn't it, gospel summing up. Make disciples, baptizing them, bringing them in to God's family, as it were, in that symbolic washing, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus being, of course, the Word of God who's with God in the beginning, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Everything in God's Word is to be taught. I hope that's an encouragement as we come up to Easter. We'll be coming back to Mark's Gospel. And interesting enough, we'll be coming back to a very interesting character when we look at King Herod, and really a rather tragic situation, not just for John the Baptist, but for him as well. You know, he strikes me as a tragic character in Scripture, Herod, and we'll see why when we come back to it. But what an inspiration to share the gospel with people this Easter. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for what we've seen this morning, that we are to be dependent on you. You do give us everything in your word for spreading the word. We thank you also that when we go, we're given a gospel. We don't have to be creative. And the gospel is that we need to repent. We need to turn. We need to go God's way, not our way. And so, Lord, there's no doubt about what we do or how we do it. But again, we think of that promise that you go with us. You will be with us even to the end of the age. So we thank you, Lord, and we just pray this Easter. We just think of those people who took tracts yesterday, and indeed those who will get the leaflets going out to the houses in the area. We pray that you might work in hearts and minds this Easter. And again, Lord, we just pray for the continued witness for this, of this church in this area. Amen.